Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to a special For What It's Worth. Today, I've got a very special guest who's no stranger to most of you, but it's our good friend, Brad Scott, my bestest friend, as they say.
Dittos.
And Brad's in town, and we thought that it'd be a good idea for us both to come on set and just share some things with you, particularly about some of the things that people are talking about that are supposed to be converging in the month of September. There's a lot of things going on. Blood moon at the Feast of Tabernacles, September 13th being the last day of the Hebrew month Elul, and in light of the Shemitah and things being said there, Obama meeting with the Pope, the UN, supposed UN announcement about a Palestinian state, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all these different things going on. And when Brad and I were discussing these things, we were both impressed by the fact that there's a lot of believers out there that, my view, are responding out of fear. And so we thought we would just come today and just have a conversation about some of these things. And so, again, welcome, Brad Scott. Thanks for being with me, man. And one of the things that I wanted to start out with is that you do think it's a good idea for us to be alert, aware of what's going on, and be sober-minded about this, right?
I mean, pardon me for saying this, but even if there was no God, I think we should be prepared for what we see happening in the world right now. And that's why you see a lot of secular people doing just that. So especially, I would say, something Paul would say, especially the brothers. And so we should be prepared for such events, absolutely.
Well, one of the things that I point out from time to time to people is, Solomon talks about the ant. Even the ant has enough sense in the summertime to store up because he knows that wintertime's coming. But I always make this point, too. He does that so that he can continue being an ant, that he can continue doing what he's designed to do. Mm-hmm. And so anything like that, any preparation, and I'm not against that, but it should be with the idea that so that we can continue doing what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
And so this is the distinction I want to make. It seems to me, Brad, that a lot of people are responding to these things, the prospect of these things. We don't even know if they're really, all this is going to really pan out. But it seems that there are a lot of people responding to this out of fear, for instance. And the lady who called me sees this, then she's going to know who I'm talking about. But a very good friend of mine from many years back called me a few weeks ago, and she says, Bill, and hearing all these things, I met with this lady who is saying you need to go to the bank, you need to take all your money out of the bank, and you need to do this and you do that. What do you think? And, my response was, number one, I can't tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. I will say this, that if everybody starts taking their money out of the bank in fear of that on September 13th or 14th or whatever, that the stock market's going to crash and banks are going to shut down, if everybody were to do that in preparation for what might happen, it might become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. And so we end up responding out of fear. There's a lot of things that we know are going to happen, but there's just some things that are just, we're not really sure if they're going to pan out. So I'm just going to go ahead and put you on the spot here. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, first of all, the Jimmy Stewart thing is exactly right. In the midst of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, the people run down because they fear the bank's going to run out of money. So they go down there, just what he said, and they pull out all this. So they caused the thing to actually happen in the first place. And I think we would all agree that things have been happening over time all the time. There just seems to be a culmination of a lot of things happening at the same time, including one thing you didn't mention, which I would like to talk about perhaps a little bit later on, just to make another thing everybody can freak out over. I think that you and I would agree, because we talked about this before, that when something is happening that everybody knows about, that causes both of us to speculate about the whole thing. If everybody knows about it, we're pretty certain it's probably not going to happen if everybody's talking about it. And I think even in the advice about the bank thing, I think that to continuous human beings, as we're continuous ants and so forth, should be the proper perspective of those things. I just don't think that we should be doing these things out of fear that the Messiah is coming, or that anxious thing about the Messiah coming. I think if it's possible that there are two scenarios that we're always dealing with. One is preparing for the Messiah to come is not the same thing as being a prudent father, husband, pastor, and so forth, about living in a culture that just may be going right down the proverbial tubes and so forth. And to me, those are two different kinds of preparation, and we should always be aware of those things and so forth. If we're living in an economy where it seems like maybe the financial people are telling maybe that's the best thing to do, get your money out of the bank, put it in a pillowcase, whatever the case may be, then I think to be a prudent human being for your family and the people around you, you should do that.
Well, let us establish here now that we're pretty certain Messiah is not coming back in September.
I'm living my life assuming that's probably not what I think is going to happen.
I'm going on the belief that he comes in an hour when you think
that's
not.
That's right, yeah. So everybody thinks.
And so if everybody's thinking he's going to come, then chances are he's not going to come. And I know that won't set well with some people, but that's what he said. So going back to what you mentioned, and this is my view too, that if everybody is saying this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen here, and this is, and when, and all these kinds of things. It usually doesn't happen when we think and how we think.
Right.
All right. So just to kind of establish that. That doesn't mean that Wall Street won't have a correction.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties, even maybe in September. It's just to say that everybody's focus seems to be on what might happen. Another issue, Jade Helm. How many emails have you gotten about Jade Helm?
A bunch. And I remember being down in Texas when that whole thing started to come into fruition. Everybody started to worry about it and so forth. And that also, as you well know, happens between July the 15th and September 15th. Right. So that's another monkey wrench in the situation is what's happening there.
Well, I was with some people down in Southwest Texas who actually were hosting some of these military personnel, and they were talking about these guys are great patriots, love their country, and who were putting to rest some of the fears that these people had. Of course, the conspiracy theorist is going to say, well, that's what they would say,
Of course.
Well, something you kind of hinted at, I think this is what you were hinting at, and that CERN, that is what you were hinting at, right?
Yeah.
Well, tell everybody about this a little bit.
Well, this could be something that would be an example of something, once again, that everybody would freak out about and so forth. And this is another thing to add to the whole thing, but this could be another example where everybody's kind of looking over here, and actually maybe what may be happening is over there. And I know I stole that little thing from somebody I know and love here. The whole CERN thing, just basically a brief history of it, is that in 1954, physicists all over the world, in their constant search for the origin of life and to prove the Big Bang Theory and so on and so forth, they began construction on this Hadron Collider. It's called an LHC, Large Hadron Collider, Atom Smasher. There's lots of words for it. It's a 17-mile radius tunnel underneath Geneva, Switzerland, partly in Switzerland, partly in France. And the idea of a particle accelerator is the fact that in order to discover the smallest things, because that's what science has always understood, that what started things is something we can't see, and there's constantly bringing it down to the smallest thing. So in order to get to the smallest thing, things you can't see, you can't just shoot an atom out of the sky with a shotgun, and you can't get the world's smallest knife and try to cut it in half and so forth. So what you do is you take these subatomic particles that you really actually can't see, and you accelerate them at the speed of, near the speed of light in this accelerator, and you know that eventually they're going to smash into each other. So atom smasher is a pretty good example of it. But what we don't realize is the energy and the power that's being messed with here. As a matter of fact, Stephen Hawking, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's the latest well-known evolutionist of our time, both not believers in the God of Eight, hate him, say terrible things about him. Both of them said recently, what's going on there now, which I'm about to describe, is going to open the gates of hell. Now, these are two unbelievers using biblical terms, you mm-hmm. know, gates of hell will not prevail against you, to describe something that's going on in CERN, because we've all learned when we were in junior high and so forth, what happens if you cut an atom or if you splice an atom and so forth, and what could happen. And so the reality is they're dealing with tons of energy. I mean, tons of energy. I mean, we can't even conceive of how much power is going underground there. And so the idea is that after a while, after they don't smash into each other, you got this buildup of energy. So just like taking out the trash, in order to put more trash in there, you got to empty out the trash you had before. That's mm-hmm. just in simple terms. And so they build a little cavern, or they put the tunnel ends where there's a cavern in the ground. And what they do is every once in a while, they have a beam dump. A beam dump is where you take all that energy and you have to do something with it, because energy doesn't go away, just changes form. Mm-hmm. So you've always got the laws of conservation of mass and energy being involved in all this. So they fired it back up. It was shut down for a couple of years for repair, so they say. And they fired it back up and they had to do a beam dump on April 25th of this year, for example. So they dumped all this energy. 11 seconds later, 3,000 people, I think, died in the Nepal earthquake. Mm. And that may be just a coincidence, Bill, you know, how we feel about coincidence. It could be a coincidence that that just happened right after that. But they're going to be doing that again and so forth on September 23rd and 24th.
Well, isn't
Surprise.
That interesting?
Okay. Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur, they're going to be doing this beam dump again. And people are concerned, including these atheists, that they're going to open up the gates of hell, because in Hebrew, these people's opinion, there are a lot of people's opinion, they're going to open up a portal. Mm. That's what everybody's afraid of. Because of string theory, most physicists believe in other universes. Surprise, surprise. Right. I mean, they've realized that through the physics, there's another existence other than our physical existence, which the Bible already told us and
right.
so forth. But they believe that this is going to open up all these other multi-universes, and all this demonic stuff, all the conspiracy theories and so forth, all this demonic stuff is going to pour through. Well, there's two Hebrew words that are translated as portal. One is patach, and the other one is shaar, and so forth. Shen, ayin, resh. Shaar is translated in the Bible as gates,
right.
and so forth. And it just so happens, if I could read this very quickly, that
sure.
Patach, for one example, is in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, starting, just read a couple of verses here, chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened, patach, the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And we go on to all these images that have traditionally been taught were helicopters and things
mm-hmm,
like that.
Right.
Maybe these things are more natural than we think they are, is what we need to watch out for.
Well, you know, when we were talking about this last night, you know, I have often wondered how we get to a place where Isaiah describes the earth being basically knocked off its axis,
yeah.
you know, and it reels to and fro like a drunkard. Because I'm kind of like you. I think that even though God can do whatever he wants
sure.
I think that what he describes happening in all these verses is something happens in the natural that we, you know, what am I trying to say here? It's the consequence, maybe
right.
we can put it that way.
Of men.
Of what men do. You know, we're just kind of talking here, going
yeah.
with the flow.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brad and I, through the years, have kind of gone against the grain on a couple of different things. For instance, the Nephilim, you know, I kid a lot, but this is true. I can go and speak for hours and hours and hours on a topic, and I can just make a passing comment about the Nephilim and how I don't personally believe that the Nephilim are the result of fallen angels mating with human women. And whatever
Neither
I've talked
I.
about,
yeah,
and
yeah.
whatever I've talked about, that's what people are going to focus
yeah.
on. So, because it's fanciful, it's dramatic, it's out, as you put it, it's outside of our solar system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where what I see happening throughout Scripture, and you concur with this, is that these things that happen is a result of what we do. So, that being said, what you described with this thing with CERN, I mean, now, if I was going to be a concerned about something, that is really going to concern me, because we're always going to have financial issues that are going to pop up. We're always going to have politicians and popes getting together and discussing things that we're not going to agree with. Those kinds of things, we always
they
have
come,
those kinds
ebb and
of
flow
things.
Of those, yeah.
But when men start tampering with the creation, if I can put it that way, would that be accurate?
Mm-hmm. Which is what I believe happened back in the days of Noah. So it's going to be just like coming of the Son of Man, we're
right.
told.
So I mean that is a little disturbing. Now we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
We don't. The blood moons.
Yeah.
And of course we both share a very good friend, Mark Biltz, mm-hmm. who's written the book on this. He's the one that really kind of broke, as far as I know anyway, the news about these blood moons over the past couple of years. No doubt about it. There have been these eclipses. There's going to be another one at Sukkot. Mm-hmm. We're going to get this reddish hue on the moon. What's your take on it?
Well, my take is simply this. I believe, based upon Yeshua speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Bible saying, hey, I sent you a bunch of signs. I'm paraphrasing this, mm-hmm. obviously. Okay? I sent you a sign. I sent you another sign. You saw all these signs. And I believe what Yeshua is trying to say is your response to the sign, these signs that I gave you, is the reason why I'm really only going to give you one sign. Because you don't really get the major sign, and that is Yeshua. In the song we sing, if you will, I think the major sign is summed up in the song, because he lives.
Mm.
Okay? It's all because he lives. And so the major sign was him hanging on that tree. So they sent him all these signs. So I believe the blood moons are all signs from God. I believe all these things are from him. But what's been happening today, I believe, is what was happening then. And that is, we see a sign. Let's take the first one.
Yeah.
We look around. Jesus doesn't come. And so we go right back to the same thing we were doing before.
Right.
And so the Father says, okay, I'm going to send you another sign. So therefrom, I think Mark has nailed it. I think they are signs from God. Now we'll see at Sukkot, when we have this sign once again, how we, his people, instead of doing what our government did on 9/11 and grab guitars and sing Kumbaya on the Capitol lawn or whatever, and then turn around and go, well, nothing else is happening, so back to fighting each other kind
right.
of thing. We'll see what happens on
Well, and that kind of leads me to a point I was going to make. You know, my take on the blood moons, and I agree, mm-hmm. it's a sign. That's one of the reasons that he put the sun, the moon, and the stars up there, to be for signs and seasons. But one of the things that occurred to me, because the sun, I believe, is emblematic of the sun,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the moon is emblematic of the body, his people. The sun generates its own light; the moon can't. It needs to reflect the light. But what happens when we have this so-called blood moon is that the position of the sun is here, and the earth is here, and then the moon is here. And so from my understanding is, as the moon comes in and positions itself between the sun and as the earth comes into
the moon
position
the
between the moon and the sun, from the moon's point of view, which is emblematic of us, because we're the ones that are to reflect the light of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is the world gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we act like the world. We think like the world. We go back and do what the world does. As you said, we grab guitars, we sing Kumbaya, we get all on high alert for a little while, and then nothing happens.
Back
and we
to
go
beating
back
our
to,
slaves.
So the world gets in the way. And so I've taken away from this that more than anything else, it's as if the Creator is saying to his people, understanding that red, Adam, is related to the idea of Edom and Esau, we are behaving like the world. And so that's really the sign. And that's exactly what we're doing, in my opinion, as we see the approach of these potential things. How are we acting? Oh, can I get my money out of the bank? And can I run off and hide over here until the smoke clears? You know, and
move to South America.
Right.
Or
and responding as the world would respond in these kinds of situations.
Yeah.
And so all of that is to lead up to this. I do think it's possible. I don't know when. I don't know how. I think our country is in trouble. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Atheists understand that.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that point in a minute. I think our country's in trouble, but more than anything else, I think if the Creator's going to do something next month or next year or 10 years from now, is probably going to remove those things that we, not those people out there, that we have placed our trust in other than him. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. Absolutely.
So really, this is not about what God's getting ready to do to America necessarily. It's really what he's trying to get through to us.
Yeah,
would you agree
to
with
us
that?
Again.
Right.
Yeah, take it out of the another galaxy thing and put it back on men. I'm sure you've heard me say many times that the end is not the beginning. We both said understand that. And when you go to the beginning, those three little words are going to be the paradigm for all the mess from that point forward. And those three little words are, and men began.
Mm-hmm.
There's your problem right there. So the Father's trying, if you will, to restore what men begin to do and so forth. And that's why he's working with our hearts. He's working with us.
All right. So the reason we're doing this, folks, is, again, because in anticipation of what might happen, we don't know. My personal opinion is it's probably not going to happen the way a lot of people are expecting it to happen.
Right.
I'm not going to be so bold as to say there's not going to be any trouble next month. I don't know. I just don't know. But I am confident in thinking that it's probably not going to pan out the way a lot of people are saying it's going to pan out. I don't believe it's the end of the world. I don't even believe it's the end of the world as we know it.
And how many historical patterns do we have in the Bible that tells us that, you know?
Yeah.
Did the Israelites, when they're in Egypt, expect that they were going to leave and go through a wilderness, you know, for 40 years and so forth? And did the Pharisees and the Sadducees expect the Messiah to come the way he did in the first century, and their enemies are still around and so forth? So we've got enough, and we can go on and on with that. Mm-hmm. We've got enough patterns in the scripture to back up what you just said. It's probably not going to be the way we think.
Well, I mean, even when Messiah comes, or the days leading up to the return of the Messiah, he likened them to the days of Noah. Men were eating, mm-hmm. drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and swept them away. And he likened it to the days of Lot, when men were planting, they were building, they were buying, they were selling. And so there is some kind of an economy, and life goes on. And usually when these things happen, usually it's when no one's expecting it to happen. And that's a key thing for me.
Yeah.
So again, I want to be careful how I say this, but if everybody's saying this is what's going to happen, get ready for it, then chances are it might not happen that way.
Yeah.
All right. But the whole point we wanted to discuss here today, or at least this is what my provocation was, is that I think there's a lot of people out there that are just fearful. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, they've emailed me. I know they've emailed mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Where do I go? What do you say to that?
Well, I generally tell them that I think our focus, the body of Messiah, needs to be on being every day. And I think this is Hebrew thinking as well. I think we get sometimes trapped into the Greek way of thinking. So when they go back to the way the writers of the scripture think and the culture's understood for a long time, and that is every day being a good, decent, honorable, righteous human being and so forth. And that, I think, is the kind of preparation and oneness that the Father wants us to have. I think he's showing us the same sign today. If you and I, and people like you and I, stand in the pulpit and we say, what makes us one in the Messiah, what makes us brothers, what makes us united is that blood, okay, on that tree 2,000 years ago. If that's the sign that Yeshua is referring to when he said, in the belly of the earth, 3 days, 3 nights, if that's what unites us, then stop letting everything else divide us.
Yeah.
If we're going to confess that's what unites us. And I think this total focus ought to be on that. And not only that, but the most important thing we need to be doing is preparing the next generation for just in case September 23rd and 24th comes and goes.
And nothing.
And nothing it's not the time.
All right, well, that brings up another point. When we respond out of fear to these things, or the prospect of these things, again, because we don't really know what's going to happen. You know, I realize that Jonathan Cahn's book, The Shemitah, has got everybody on high alert, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be.
Right.
I'm just saying that everybody, or not everybody, a lot of people take that and they run with it, you know, and they bring all these other things, the possibility mm-hmm. and of these other things into it. And so, consequently, should I pull all my money out of the bank? What should I do? I need to have this, and da 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 da. What are we what are we really teaching our kids by responding that way? Yeah. What do you think?
Well, we're teaching them to we're going to teach them to produce like kind is what we're going to do, and that same kind of attitude is going to prevail in the next decade and the next decade and the next. At some time, just like curses on the Moabites for five generations, at some time a Ruth has to stand up and say, okay, I'm ending this stuff.
Right.
Right now, your God will be my God and your land, so on and so forth. So we need to raise our children up to be little, if you will, Moabites willing to stand up and stop the process. Because the fear is equal to the self-fulfillment thing you talked about earlier, and that is it can produce its own disastrous results. You yell fire in a theater, it doesn't really matter if there's a fire or not. People are still going to stomp all over each other, kill each other getting out the door, right, even if there is no fire. And I think sometimes that's exactly what we're doing.
You know, I remember as a kid sitting in the back of the church. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I remember this song they used to sing, seemed like all the time. It was, oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And then the verses talk about all the different things that are going to happen, you know, taken from the scripture. But I remember thinking as a kid, I don't want him to come back right now, you know? And I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say here is I was fearful of all these things happening right then, because I wanted to grow up, I wanted to have a wife, I wanted to have a family. And I guess what I'm trying to get across here is, even though we know there comes a day when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of His Messiah, we know that. And we know that we are to be sober-minded. We know that we are to be looking for His appearing. Mm-hmm. That being said, aren't we also to be focused on occupying and
the word is occupying
and being that city set upon a hill which cannot be hidden? And am I making sense here? You know, I don't want to downplay where we know eventually these things take us, but at the same time, I don't want to negate the fact that we're here for a reason, and there's some things that we're supposed to be doing. And focusing on the fearful aspects all the time breeds that fear, and we pass that down to our kids whether we realize it or not. I hope I'm making sense.
You're making sense, and I think back to what you said in the beginning about the ant and so forth. We need to still be everything that God has called us to be in the process of all this. And one of the things that you and I both understand, which is the opposite of Obama's platform, okay, change, is restoration. Mm-hmm. We need to keep in mind that we really do believe and see historically and experientially that these are the days of Elijah and that we are Elijah. I've always believed that we, if you will, are Elijah. And because Elijah is the one that was going to restore all things, and we're told that we're going to restore all things. So we're still in that process of training that next generation, because things have not, there's a whole lot of things that haven't been restored yet, and we're understanding these things. They've started a couple of decades ago. People are homeschooling now and so forth, and people are beginning to try to eat the right things and so forth. As if some people in the body of Messiah understand that maybe we need to start the restoration process by removing ourselves from all the trappings and so forth that all the rest of the world is involved in. And I don't want to go on too long about this, but the internet thing, the computer thing, days of Elijah, or days of Noah, like the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, the people were doing the thoughts and the intentions of their heart only evil continually. So it's not a coincidence, since we know what's going on then will be going on now. That word for thoughts, okay, is the same Hebrew word for computers today. Mm-hmm. It's machshavot and so forth. So that's the word used for thinking machines, okay? And so I don't think it's a coincidence that part of this restoration should be weaning ourselves away from all the technology. I hope I didn't open up another
Well, even though most people are going to be watching this on their computer, but that's beside the point.
Yes.
But no, would you agree with this statement that a lot of the, you know, I want to make sure that people are clear about what I believe. I don't believe it's wrong to be prudent. Mm. I don't believe it's wrong to be wise in every facet of life, okay? And even when it comes to preparing for what might happen. I just think it is dangerous to be obsessed with what might happen to the point that you are fearful and you are instilling fear in others. In fact, I think that at some point we run the risk of performing the same function as the 10 spies who gave the evil report because they said, hey, here's what we got.
That's right.
And there were giants there and there were fortified cities there. Yeah. No doubt about it. But they instilled fear in God's people to the point God's people weren't willing to do what they had been called to do, save Caleb, who was of a different spirit. So, would you agree with me then that to some degree, the fear that has been instilled in people has come through the internet?
Oh, to some degree, you are classically the king of understatement. I've heard, experienced this in other places before. That's the modern day outlet for all these kind of things. You didn't really have this kind of stuff in the 50s and 60s, and you had to seek information then. Now information is seeking us. I mean, it's following us everywhere we go. And back in the 50s and 60s, nobody got on TV like Duck Dynasty people and all these people. The ordinary person wasn't on TV. And so you didn't have a lot of this stuff going on. What were those the good old days, in my opinion? But today, anybody can say anything about anything they want, no accountability, and have no actual responsibility as well. So anybody can say whatever they want to say with no evidence, no background whatsoever of foundation of what they believe. And so therefore, these people have slowly over time, most of the masses have been convinced that if it's on the internet, well, then it must be true.
Yeah. These things grow legs and it takes off, and before you know it, I mean,
the earth is flat. Now, before you know it, the earth is flat. Way to go, Brad.
Yeah, the earth is flat, or there's an asteroid that's coming to strike the earth in September, you know, which, no, that's not.
Nobody
not
knew gonna, about till
yeah,
till now.
But no, that's nobody not saw happening. It after. Of course, then, you know, there's those who say, well, NASA wouldn't tell us if it was. You know, they don't want to panic.
And well, so then what do you do?
Yeah,
let's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die.
All right, well, I know we're going to have to bring this to a close. Brad's got got someplace to be, and he was just very nice enough and thoughtful enough to kind of come in here and let us chat about this. But here's what I hear you saying, and I know this is what I feel. Regardless of what might happen, some of it I don't think really is going to pan out. That's just the bottom line with me. I'm not saying that there won't be something going on the stock market already. You know, there's decline in the stock market. China's their economy's faltering, and it may have repercussions. All right, but we've had those things in the past, and I think back to, you know, 7 years ago when this happened. Yeah, there were people who suffered because of it, and there were ramifications, but we're still here.
Yep.
And apparently, according to what you said, and I agree, as a whole, the body didn't learn its lesson.
Yeah, that's my fundamental conclusion to all this.
All right, so we may have some more of that. Mm-hmm. It may happen next month, it may happen next year, whenever. The point is that the Creator's trying to get our attention. And so what I hear you saying, and what I believe is, in spite of what might happen, we need some Calebs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We need those who will stand up and say, you know what, yeah, there's giants there. Yeah, there are fortified cities. And yeah, there may be a stock market correction. There might be this, there might be that. But we are able to do this. We're able to do what we've been called to do. And we need to be of that different spirit. And as a result of that, Caleb turned out okay, and his situation in life turned out pretty good because he didn't trust in those things that men typically put their trust in, but he put his trust in his Father in heaven. And
that's
so
right.
I think to kind of bring this to a close, you know, in Isaiah 8, I'm going to paraphrase this. The Creator speaks to his people and says, you know, there are all these conspiracies floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things that you call conspiracy, that you fear and that you dread, he says, don't fear those things. If you're going to fear anything, fear me. If you're going to dread anything, you need to put your, you know, you need to dread
that's
the
right.
Lord your God.
That's right.
And so that's the bottom line for me. We're not to respond to anything that might happen in fear of, well, my money might be lost or this might happen. We have those situations in life. And it comes down to a point that we have to determine that I'm going to trust you regardless.
That's the bottom line is our God, fear only the one who can destroy both body and soul.
Right.
So forth. That's the only thing we should fear. Whether the dollar goes up, the stock market goes down, that's totally irrelevant.
All right, then. So we'll kind of bring this to a close, but I wanted just to say this. I don't know what's going to happen in September. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen in September. And therefore, I don't think it's profitable to obsess over what might happen in September or the month after that or even next year. Yes, be mindful, be alert, but don't let it chase you to do into a corner somewhere to be silent. Don't let it provoke you to respond out of panic, because if you do anything out of fear and panic, it's not going to turn out good.
That's right.
So we need to be sober, we need to be alert, but we need to continue doing the things that we've been called to do. And since Brad kind of spoke to this issue a couple of times, maybe if nothing else, that it's the Creator is saying to His people, you know what, don't put your trust in these things that people typically put their trust in. Put your trust in Me. And then learn to have consideration and compassion for one another and come together, because we're going to need one another if and when these things really do start happening.
That's exactly right.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
I just wanted to say that my opinion, if the wheat and the tares and the harvest and all that are all related to all of this, I do not believe the reapers are going to come and remove the tares until the wheat is ready. And I do not believe the bridegroom is going to come and get her bride until she is ready.
Agreed.
And that's what I'm focusing on. And I can almost guarantee you that if I'm back in this area here in a couple of months, we may be having another little roundtable discussion just like this. And we'll just take it from there. That's my prophecy right there.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us. I hope you gleaned something out of this. And we'll maybe see you again with Brad in a couple of months. Okay?
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Shalom.